Our study for this morning, it's morning here, so I'll just go with that. Our study for this morning is entitled Treasure Hunt. And in looking at this subject, I'm thinking and considering a particular verse that Jesus gave us in the scriptures that has to do with treasure. But before we read the verse and before we look at that, I just want us to think, as far as a treasure hunt, you know, it's one of those activities, one of those things that if you've ever were involved in it, it's usually quite exciting, it's quite fun, and there's a certain sense, a building sense of anticipation and expectation as you go along, you know, expecting to find this treasure. Sometimes you know what it is, sometimes you're not sure what it might be. Today I want us to go together on a treasure hunt, but this treasure hunt is of a different kind. This treasure hunt is more personal, and it's a hunt to see if you can find where your treasure is. And the reason I'm saying that is based on the words of Christ, where he actually told us that in Matthew chapter 6. Let me put our verse up on the screen here so we can all see that together. Matthew chapter 6, just want to make sure we have that up and running. Just give me a minute here, trying to figure out which one is which. Now, can everyone see that there? Okay, excellent. Someone says yes, so that's great. That will take the answer for everyone. The verse I'm thinking of is in Matthew chapter 6, and here is how Jesus puts it. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this is why I wanted to discuss this topic of a treasure hunt today. According to the words of Jesus and the instruction of Jesus, this relationship between our treasure and our heart is very significant. You will find that where your treasure is, your heart is there also. This link, our hearts are linked and connected with this treasure. Jesus is not denying this link, and this is the important thing. He's not saying, don't make this connection, you know, disassociate your heart from your treasure. He's not saying that. He's actually acknowledging that. He's actually therefore saying, choose your treasure wisely. Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And so today I want us to go on a treasure hunt to locate where is your treasure. Because in finding your treasure, you'll actually find where your heart is. What Jesus is simply saying, in other words, is this. Is if you show me what you invest your money in, your time in, your attention, your thinking in, that is where your treasure is. And particularly when you look at the component of finances, many times that's a good revelation and expression of where our treasure is. You know, if Jesus were to say, show me your credit card statement, your online banking transactions, and your receipts, and I will be able to see where your heart is. So today I want us to examine that as we go on this treasure hunt together, but individually at the same time. Where is your treasure located? What you invest your time in, your efforts, your energy, and particularly your money actually reveals where your heart is located. This vital connection that Jesus reveals in this verse actually helps us to examine our own hearts, especially in the context of what is going on around us in the world today. Jesus actually gives us the instruction that we are to be wise in choosing the treasure that we are to have. There is a treasure where thieves can break through and steal. And there is a treasure in heaven where it is indestructible. That's the word I was after. A treasure in heaven that's indestructible. And he says, choose wisely. His key here is not to not have any treasures. He doesn't say, kill that natural implanted desire and tendency in your heart, which God implanted, which sin corrupts. But it doesn't say disassociate from that or leave it. He says, no, you need to have a treasure, but choose wisely where your treasure is, because that's where your heart will be. So heart examination is a very vital thing to do. I want to illustrate that quickly. Last year I was in South Africa for a camp meeting, and when I was there in South Africa, just before the camp, we were there a few days before the camp, I developed some chest pain that just would not go away all day. And towards the end of the day, I was getting a little bit concerned, and it was a little bit incessant. So finally, I had to go to the hospital to check my heart. I had an ECG and just did some tests, and I wanted to make sure that my heart was okay. I was getting a little bit concerned because, heart pain can be an indication of a serious situation. And I had prayed and asked the Lord to guide and lead and all of that. But especially in leading up to the camp, and we were there, and I want to tell you this too, because there was a fair bit of controversy in South Africa leading up to the camp, particularly over the issue of the Godhead. And we were there, and I was having this heart trouble, and I thought, It wouldn't go down too well if I have a heart attack and die before the camp or something. So maybe it just would be wise and prudent to get my heart checked. And so went and got my heart checked and did the tests, and the results came clear, and it's all good, all well, nothing happened, I was fine, and I didn't die or anything, and praise the Lord. But that's the thinking process in my mind. So I thought, okay, well, let's check on our heart. Let me check on my heart. Spiritually speaking, we need to check how our heart is. We need to take a spiritual ECG, so to speak, of our heart and how it is. There are many people who, unawares, are suffering spiritual heart attacks because their treasure is in the wrong place. And if your treasure is in the wrong place, then your heart will naturally and automatically, according to Jesus, be also where that treasure is. So, that's my question to you. Where is your treasure today? Your most prized possession? That which takes your mind, your time, your money, your attention, your regard? That is where your treasure is. That is where your heart is. I want to look at a few practical aspects, because if you recall, this is a serious and real danger. When Jesus was asked a question by a young man one day, we refer to him as the rich young ruler. He had a treasure, and his treasure actually was the means of preventing him from following Jesus. And he found that very hard to overcome. So it's a real struggle. And Jesus recognizes this, and this is why we want to look at it together. One of the first things I want to cover in light of that and on this treasure hunt that we're looking for and making sure we have the right treasure at the right place is the story that Jesus followed up when he said this, and this is mentioned in Luke chapter 12. And a warning that Jesus gives, Luke chapter 12 and our next verse there, let me put it up, it'll be easier to see for everyone, Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And here we are told by Jesus, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. So Christ's warning in this context is very real and very telling. Take heed and beware of covetousness, greed, human greed, natural, sin perverted human greed. Jesus is warning about that. And he says, listen, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that we possess. This is the rule of the world today. This is what the world runs on. Accumulating, acquiring things, treasures, whatever they might be. And Jesus says to his disciples, to his followers, to us today, beware of that. Beware of this covetousness. The fight against covetousness is a real thing because we are born and raised in this world which largely operates on this principle. Covetousness or selfishness is something that comes to us naturally. We don't have to learn it. We don't have to be taught it. It is a natural inclination. The desire to acquire things, to accumulate things, to get more and more things is something that all humanity can relate to. And this is something that Jesus is warning about. Actually, it's one of the Ten Commandments, if you recall, because the last commandment doesn't get as much coverage and attention as the other nine commandments usually, but the last commandment, all the way at the bottom there, is still part of the ten, and it actually says, thou shalt not covet, or in other words, it's a warning against greed. And in context of what we're talking about, of course, it is very relevant. So, this is not something that just goes away all by itself. It's something that's all around us. It's something that we have to actively recognize. We have to resist, and we have to be aware of, especially in the last days. The reason why so many people actually get derailed in the last days to a large degree has to do with the location of their treasure. That's why I'm asking this question today, and we're saying, where is your treasure? want to illustrate it this way. In Papua New Guinea, and I've traveled there a few times, if you travel to some of the primitive, outlying places there, people are still living in very basic living circumstances, very primitive, a lot of the villages there. And one day a man was visiting such a village that is far out and not up to all the standards of what we call civilization today. And he asked a question to one man in the village. He says, "What's the biggest problem that you have in your village here?" And he was expecting a very different answer to what he got. Because the answer that he got, what he was told the biggest problem in the village was materialism. And the man who answered the question went on to explain that he said, if a man is living in a mud hut, he wants one of stone. If he has a thatch roof, he wants a tin roof. If he has 1 acre, he wants 2 acres. And in this little story, we just see the issue illustrated very clearly, that materialism, covetousness, human greed is a heart sickness that is not just applicable to those who have an abundance of things, even in remote places, places that we feel lack the luxuries that some of us might be accustomed to or even take for granted, we find the same problem exists. It's not about which standard of living, it's about a heart condition. Now, I just want to clarify here, because wanting to better your living conditions and circumstances is not a bad thing. Wanting to improve how you live is not a negative thing in any way, shape, or form. But when it becomes the all-consuming desire, and it never ends in that it's always wanting the next best thing, then it becomes a big problem. It demonstrates a much bigger heart problem. When your treasure becomes seeking and wanting the next best thing, and acquiring it, what you don't have, and seeking it with time, with money, with energy, with effort, and then the next one after it, and then the one after that, then remember the warning of Jesus. Because he says, a man's life does not consist in the things that he owns, in the abundance of possessions. That's the issue. This is the question. This is why we're talking about where one's heart is. Because naturally, we seem to just always want more than we already have. Actually, talk about it in the world today. There's a popular phrase that is used. It's called retail therapy. And retail therapy is basically when you feel a little bit down and out, you can cheer yourself up by going to the shops and acquiring more possessions. And the idea is that this will satisfy whatever down and out feeling that you might have, but it doesn't work. It absolutely doesn't work. You can get engaged in that endlessly. And so this danger is very real. What is occupying your heart and mind? Where is your treasure? We're going on this treasure hunt today. A multimillionaire was once asked the question, being a multimillionaire and having plenty of money, many millions, something that very likely many of us don't particularly have at this point. He was asked this question, how many millions does it take to satisfy a man? And his answer was, the next million. And so that illustrates this point quite clearly, hence the warning of Jesus. So that's point number one. Beware of covetousness. Greed and materialism will steal your heart away from the lasting treasure. It's a real danger, even among God's people, because it applies to us as well. It's not just a danger for people out there. This is why we're asking where the treasure is. The next point I want to bring up is what Jesus follows up what he says with this interesting story, with this interesting parable. Let's read it in Luke chapter 12 we are, and we'll go to the next verse, to verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 down to 18. Jesus goes on and he says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. So here is this rich man wanting to expand and wanting to excel. Now, there is really nothing wrong with excelling in and of itself, nothing wrong with success. We're actually told in the Bible to do our best and to work heartily in whatever our hand finds to do. But this man's problem here was not that he just wanted to do his best. This man's problem was one of severe and supreme greed and selfishness. The whole thing was all about him. If you look carefully, you find that he didn't pay any attention to any others. He didn't pay any attention to eternal things. He did not consider the needs of anyone else. It was all about the here and the now. His treasure was his possession and the expansion of owning more material things. And if you note in the verse, you find that it was all about my fruits and my barns and my goods. Does that remind you of anyone else in the scripture? I'm thinking of Nebuchadnezzar, who was very proud of Babylon, the city that he had built with all its beauty and splendor and wonder. That was the same problem. This is what we see this man here has. And Jesus is giving this parable as a warning, following up his words of beware of covetousness. A man's life does not, you know, is not made up of the things that he owns and possesses. And so this man, he felt that he had all these things and he owned all these things. He loved the idea of accumulating more and more and having abundance of things. Ownership is the key I want to look at here that comes out clearly in this verse, in this parable. All these things that were his were only feeding his greed and covetousness. You see, this was illustrated very clearly as well in this circumstance that we're all facing. You saw in the way that people bought so much stuff in this crisis. There were fights in the supermarkets, there were hoarders, there were people who thought it was a great idea to buy up everything and then resell it and profiteer. I actually even read about a man just recently in a news article who had bought $10,000 worth of toilet paper and hand sanitizer. $10,000. And he was not able to resell them, so he actually went back to the store to try and refund them, and they actually declined. They said, no, we're not going to refund you. So this might be an extreme case, but you see examples, you see people fighting in the supermarket, see people just concerned. Some of them are concerned for their well-being and having food, but some are actually concerned for getting even more. Covetousness, agreed. The average person, most people, do not need $10,000 of toilet paper to survive this crisis, okay? There are 100 million other solutions to that. But here we see a very clear illustration. This is the world we are in. And sometimes the world we are in can rub off on us. So I want to remind you of something that is here revealed in this parable, in this warning, in this story that Jesus gave. When we think that we own and prize things, and that they are ours, and we affectionately hold them, whatever they might be, our prized car, house, collection of things, whatever item, I want to remind you of something very serious and that you all know. It's all going to burn pretty soon too at that. Everything, all the things of this world, all the material, physical things, the possessions that we love, we treasure, we think highly of, we put in a case, in a showcase, we don't let anyone touch or whatever it might be, brothers and sisters, it's all going to burn. And the signs of the times tell us that that day is actually coming soon. Now, why am I saying this? Because I want to put things in perspective for us. Everyone knows this, as far as if you are a believer, if you know the Bible. But sometimes, imperceptibly, we seem to forget that. And our behavior can show that we're starting to treasure things that will perish. And this is the warning of Jesus. He says, listen, don't lay a treasure where it will perish, where it will rust, where it will be stolen, where it will be destroyed, or even where it will be burned. But lay up for you a treasure in heaven. Let your heart be that. So, what we own in the world here is actually only for a season, and so it is to serve a purpose. God gave us a blessing of things to actually bless others. And this is what this man, this rich fool, which we will see in a minute, neglected the blessing and the thought of others. God did not enrich him and bless him in order for him to accumulate more and more for himself, but it's for the blessing of others. And the same goes for us. Remember, the real owner of everything is the one who gives it to us. That's God. Ownership. This man had a problem with ownership. It was all his things and forgetting the real owner. There's a beautiful verse in this context I want to share with you here as a reminder for this particular aspect of ownership. And it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 40. And here, this is what it says. But who am I? And this is the wise man Solomon. King, rich and wise King Solomon, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So very plainly here, brothers and sisters, God actually owns everything. We are merely his stewards to manage those things that he has given us while we can, to lay up a lasting treasure in heaven. This is the wonder about it. You know, we can utilize the blessing, the treasure that God gives us, to lay up treasure in heaven. Where is your treasure? So ownership is the second one. First one was covetousness and greed. Beware of that. Point number two is ownership. How do you view your possessions, your material possessions? Who truly has ownership of them? So my challenge to you here is give your possessions to God. Give him ownership, because it's actually him who gave it to us. And lay up for you an eternal treasure, one that fadeth not away. Our next point has to do with selfishness. And this is where Jesus continues the parable. Let's keep reading and see how the story of this man develops and continues. Back to Luke chapter 12, verses 19 down to 21. And this man continues, who says, I will, you know, build up these bigger barns and bigger storage houses. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. A very potent and abrupt turn of events in this parable. Greed and selfishness can only beget more of the same. This is the warning here. This man was so consumed with his things. He has secured his life, he secured his retirement, he is set for life, he's comfortable, he has no worry about the future. Does that ring a bell with you today? Sometimes we're concerned about being set up in this world and for life. And it's good to make sure that we have our needs met. But beware, lest that become your treasure. And you set your heart on that treasure, and your heart ends up being there. And then when that treasure passes away, where will your heart be found? This is the warning. This is the danger. This attitude of this man reflects so accurately people's attitudes today. But the question is, does it describe you? That's the challenge, and that's the key in this study. Especially that we are living in a time when because we're meaning this way, there's restrictions, we're considering the signs of the times, the end is near. And this is one of the warnings that Jesus actually gives us to beware of in preparing for the last days. Now granted, as we see some of these things around us, it actually kind of wakes us up a little bit to realize the temporary nature of some of these things that we prize and treasure, which is good. It's good to have a wake-up call. But this is the whole point of this study as well, to really wake up, because we might be treasuring things by giving them time, effort, attention, and even money that we have become so accustomed to treasuring. And this is where our heart is, that we don't even recognize it so readily. That's why I'm saying, let's go on a treasure hunt together today. Find your treasure. Where is your treasure located? It seems like getting a taste of something, you know, in this world, it's like you desire more and then more. This is the cycle of greed and selfishness. So beware of this cycle. It's like this, you know, you get a good car, next time you want a better car, faster car, next model. A good house, you don't want to expand, you get a bigger house, and then the next bigger one. This is the way the world runs. You have this position in this job, you want to acquire the next one up. Or you have a business, you want to grow it. And whatever it might be, this aspect of getting seems to generate a desire and want for more. You're making so much money, you know, a year, or you want to get the next stage to make even more and then more. Beware of this cycle, brothers and sisters. It's a real danger. Jesus warned about it specifically. And he says, beware of covetousness. The Bible actually talks about the eye that is never satisfied. And so this is a very serious aspect to be minded of. The danger is not just for people in the world, like I said. The danger is also for people in the church, for believers. Jesus said his words, gave his instructions. Actually, if you read up the context, you'll find that it was because a man came and wanted Jesus to settle an inheritance dispute between him and his brother. Here is a man hearing the teachings of Jesus about eternal things and God and heaven and so on. And despite him hearing all of this, he came to Jesus and is just amazed. Picture this. And this is lead up into to the verses that we just read before, where Jesus said, "Beware of covetousness." He was saying that in answer to this man who approached him and says, "Lord, please come judge between me and my brother over our inheritance." Now imagine this. This man has an opportunity to speak with Jesus, with the Savior. And the question that he wants to ask Jesus is for Jesus to settle this dispute over the inheritance that he has with his brother. So this is a real danger, brothers and sisters, even for those who hear the words of Jesus, who profess to be followers of Jesus. We can still be so preoccupied and caught up with the things of this world and the material things that we possess. And because we have some and there is more and a little bit more and we want more, beware of this cycle and this this self-feeding cycle of greed. There's a reason why God prospers us, and it's not so that we can acquire more, as we see in this man's story. It's actually for a specific reason. Our next verse actually tells us that. The reason why God prospers us, why does God bless us? Why does God give us things, even material things? It's in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 and 11. "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Now what does that mean? Particularly this last verse in verse 11. It sounds like a bit of a mouthful, but it's much clearer if you actually look at it from another translation. Here it is from the ESV. It says, "You will be enriched in every way." And here's the reason. Here's the purpose. "To be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." So very clearly here, according to Paul, God enriches us. God blesses us with things, with material things in abundance, so that we can be liberal, so that we can be generous, so that we can bless others. We are stewards of these things, managers on God's behalf, and God is entrusting us. How are you doing as a manager of things? Did you get caught up in the cycle of greed and selfishness, the self-feeding cycle? Or are you being liberal in proportion to the liberality and generosity of God towards you? You see, God's blessing is for a purpose. It's to make you more generous, not to make you the possessor of more things. You know, if you have things and you have them in abundance, more than you need necessarily, for example, you're not living in a mud hut as such, you have things in life. The reason why God gives us blessing and prospers us is not so that we can accumulate and collect and acquire more assets and things, but it is to make us more generous. That's the principle. That's the point that Paul is making here. And so someone said it well, and I really like how this is placed. It summarizes it perfectly. God prospers you, so not to raise your standard of living, but your standard of giving. I'll say that again. God prospers you, not to raise your standard of living, but your standard of giving. That's the reason. That's the purpose behind God prospering us. In other words, God wants us to understand the real place to lay treasure in heaven, even when he blesses us abundantly with earthly treasure, whether it be possessions or things or talents or gifts or money or time or skill or ability, whatever the treasure, whatever the blessing, it is for the purpose of blessing others, of being generous. So it's not about standard of living, it's about standard of giving. This world operates with the whole standard of living mentality. Let's not fall in that trap. Thankfully, events like what's happening in the world today serve as a wake-up call. But we want to go a little deeper and dig a little deeper and really examine our hearts. Many times, God gives us more than we need. We're not just scraping by, most of us, where we don't know where our next meal will come. And oh, it arrives, and many of us actually have more than we need. There is a reason for that. The purpose is so that we can give blessings more generously to others who might not have as much. To share these blessings, to be wise stewards, laying up treasure in heaven, that will reveal where our heart is. Holding on to things like that man is actually to lose them. The foolish man lost his life in this parable that we looked at, and all his treasure passed away and it was useless. He could not benefit from it, and it was pointless. There will come a time when the treasures that we have now in this world will be useless. How do we use them now in the time that we have? Do we hoard them for ourselves, thinking we have a set life in the future? Or are we liberal and giving and blessing and sharing that blessing with others? So, Being rich towards God, as Jesus says here, is found in this liberality and generosity from recognizing this relationship that God has with us as far as why He blesses us so abundantly, so many times. God gives us these things for the very purpose of countering and dethroning the sickness of selfishness that is so natural to us. The cycle of selfishness, God blesses us in this way so that we can wake up and realize and break that cycle. Because you know what? One of the greatest cures to selfishness and this desire to accumulate and acquire more is to actually give more. And the more you get, the more you give, you are breaking this self-feeding cycle and you are dethroning yourself. You've given ownership of your things to God. You are liberal. You are breaking that cycle. You are actually laying up for yourself treasure in heaven. So, there is a greater blessing, as the scripture says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And this brings us naturally to our next point, is which I touched on, is that this man died before he had a chance to even enjoy the things that he was accumulating and acquiring. We only have one chance, brothers and sisters, to lay up a treasure in heaven. That chance is this life. Give while you can. There will come a time when we can no longer give. It's only in this life, it's only this time where we can give, where we can be liberal. So, the point to keep in mind here is to give, utilize the blessing while we can. Now, someone might think, well, this sounds like, you know, you're kind of encouraging people to do this out of a selfish motive. Because, think about it, should you give so that you don't lose what you have, you know, and share the blessing so you can still keep a blessing? No, the scripture is actually clear. We will lose everything that we have. All these treasures we treasure here on earth are going to go away. The real treasure that will last is in heaven. So we're not wanting to give so that we don't miss out on getting a little bit more from God and making sure we're giving so that we have our needs met. Let's not look at this in a selfish way, okay? We are giving while we can because there will come a time when what we have and what we give will all come to an end and actually be useless. The Bible actually tells us in Proverbs, I'll refer to this verse, some of you might know it, that the more you give, the more you get. In Proverbs it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So, we don't give so that we can get, so that we can acquire now a bit more that I've given some. No, we give, and we do get so that we can give all the more. God wants us to increase in giving, while we can. So remember the key, give while you can. Beware of covetousness, beware of greed, beware of the times in which we live in. Live your life. This is the key. Live your life in such a way so that you are laying for yourself treasure that does not pass away. Live in such a way so that when your life ends, whether when you come to the end of your life or this world ends, that when life ends, you don't look at things as a loss. You don't look at the end as a loss, but as a gain. You know, this man, his life ended and he lost the use of all these things that he wanted to use and last him for all this in all this future. Live your life in a way so that when life ends, it's not a loss, but actually a gain. It's a gain only if you have invested in putting your treasure where it really matters, where it lasts forever. Because the greatest investment in life today, and you know, there's a lot of talk about investment now because the stock market crashed and there are stocks basically going for sale and people are looking at buying certain stocks and, you know, profiting from this instability and volatility in the market because of this pandemic. And I'm sure quite a number of people are doing that and have thought of that. And you know, it makes you wonder, you know, if you're smart, you could maybe use a little bit of money and increase it all the more. And maybe you could use it to bless others. Sometimes you can justify that. But I'm not knocking this or that. We just have to really look at our motive in our heart. But the real investment, even those treasures are all going to go away anyway. So just keep that in mind. That's the whole point. The real investment in life is really not just finding the best stock that will go up in value, that will give you good returns. The best assets that increase in value are not actually found in this world. Jesus taught us that it is possible to actually invest our funds even, not just our time, our effort, but even our funds in blessing others and in laying up treasure in heaven. That's the best returns you will get on any investment. The interesting thing is you can start making that investment while in the world today. Heaven stocks are on sale. I'm not saying heaven, you can buy it, but you can actually lay up a treasure in heaven that will be where your heart is by how you deal with the blessings and the abundance that God bestows upon you. You can utilize them to put a treasure here or there. And that's my question. Where is your treasure? That's the treasure hunt that we're looking at today. So, are you accumulating things or are you clearing out? That's the question. It's not in our nature to clear out. You know, sometimes I have a situation where when we move house, we acquire a lot of things and we find all this many times junk because we accumulated things, put it in the shed, and we're moving like, oh, we haven't used this in months. And it's human nature to accumulate. And it's difficult to actually clear things out. It's in our nature to just get, just in case. I might need this one day. I'll put that here in the shed. I might need it one day. I might need it. You might never actually need it, but you just might need it. This is human nature. Are you accumulating or are you clearing things out? That's the question. I'm not saying go live a pauper and don't have the means that will allow you to live. But let's look at the picture of, has God blessed you more than what you need? What are you doing with the excess? I'm not saying go give everything and live poor because you heard a sermon today and look, I don't have food. No, I'm not saying to go to an extreme, but I'm talking about that which we acquire that is above and beyond. Let's remember the big picture. That's the key. Are you really preparing to relocate on short notice, or are you burdened and tied down by so many things in this world? That's the question. That's the key. Are you planting your roots deep here, or are you investing in that treasure up there in heaven? Your treasure is where your heart is. James gave us a sign of the times. We're almost there at the end. A couple more verses here. Let's put this on the screen for us. James chapter 4. This is what he says. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So James puts it very succinctly here and very clearly. What is your life? You say you'll plan and you will invest and you will go and you will buy this and you will get that and the other thing. And you forget that life is just like a vapor. It is here a moment and then it is gone. What are you doing in this time in the interim? So that's the key. Give while you can, while you still have, and while you still have life. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, an eternal one. That's the key, that's the warning Jesus gives. The last point I want to mention is just commenting on Jesus' last point, where he says, to be rich toward God. Christ's emphasis here is really worth noting and remembering. Being rich towards God. In other words, let us practically live in a way to show that this world is not our home. That material things are not our focus. That the where we live, how we live, is not how we permanently want to be. Let us live life in this world, showing that this world is actually not our home. That's the key. Being rich toward God means recognizing the big picture. You know, the patriarchs or the fathers of the faith back in the days, they actually lived in tents and in temporary dwellings. And if you read the book of Hebrews, particularly chapter 11, you will find that one of the reasons given why they dwelt in tents, in other words, they didn't live in a city, they didn't build a city, a physical structure, they lived in a mobile structure, a tent that they could collapse anytime and move. The reason was that they were declaring that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world, that they were looking for a city whose builder is God. In other words, they knew in this world they were simply passing through. Temporary dwelling to symbolize the nature of their journey. Their real home, their permanent home, the building, a city that is built for them is actually in heaven. How are you living your life and my life today? Now, this is not a call to go and live in a tent. This is a call as far as the heart condition and the attitude. Are we living like this world is our home? Or are we living in such a way that we are ready at a moment's notice to walk away because our treasure is not found here? That's the key. So the material things in this world, let's not make them our focus. These are just given for a season and for a purpose so that we might be a blessing to others around us and thereby lay up treasure in heaven. Are we showing by our dealing with these material things, are we showing that we're faithful stewards or unfaithful stewards? That's the question. So what I'm sharing with you today, well, you might think, okay, that's a good reminder, you know, yeah, I need to try a little harder on some of these things. That's true. It's a good point, you know. This will not result from trying harder. I want to tell you right up here. Because remember, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, not a grudging giver. And when I say giver, I mean someone who just blesses and shares and is liberal. God wants us to do this not out of a burden, not out of a duty as far as, oh, yeah, I heard a good message or a good reminder. Yeah, I better do some of that. No, God wants us to actually out of a recognition, a conviction, a true realization of the nature of things. He wants us to recognize the circumstance and to give cheerfully, happily, knowing that it is our joy and our pleasure to utilize this passing treasure in a way that will actually expand the kingdom of God and bless others. So I just want us to focus on effort here and go and try and accomplish that. You know, the only way that you can accomplish that is through Christ. So if this is an area you struggle with or that you find yourself falling into, and we all do to a certain extent or another, then you need to pray to God to really open your eyes. You need to pray and ask the Lord to really give you His Spirit in a way that will really transform your focus and your attention when it comes to material things. If this is something that you especially struggle with, it's not like try harder and give away more things and here you go. We have to give. Yeah, God is not looking for grudging givers. God loves a cheerful giver. So ask the Lord to give you that cheerful heart to recognize and see the bigger picture. The circumstances around us help us to see the bigger picture. Help us to see the temporary nature of so many things. People's jobs, people's work, people's livelihood, people's income. People are realizing that the things that they depended on are not so dependent. It's like at a moment the government or the laws can come in and just restrict all of that. How are we on the deeper heart level when it comes to the things that we possess as Christians? We might have a job, we might still be doing okay, and we might still have our possessions. How are we doing when it comes to these things? That's the key. So if this is an area you're struggling with, I want to remind you that you can pray and ask God to open our eyes in case your vision is a little bit out of focus, even though you might be a believer. So ask God to help you cut loose whatever is tying you to this world, whatever it might be, especially if it's things that you own, that you possess, that you accumulate. You know, one thing I find in this world is a lot of collectors, especially rich people. They seem to quickly have this habit of collecting items, especially if they're richer. They collect rich things, expensive things rather, you know, really expensive, sometimes crazy things. The things that people collect are quite amazing. When I was little, you know, I used to collect stamps and have my collection of stamps. And it's part of this human nature. We like to collect things, especially things we love that stand out to us. I put it to you, and in looking back on life and in reflecting on this, I put it to you that collecting things is actually a habit for those who only see the here and the now. Those who only think of the here and now. Now I'm not saying don't collect anything, but just remember, your greatly prized collection is all going to burn. It's all going to go away. That which you admire, which you spend a lot of time and effort in studying and becoming an expert on and finding this piece or that piece, whatever you're collecting, whatever it is, it will all pass away. So I think collecting things is something for those who don't see beyond this world. But the real intelligence, the real perception, the real insight is when you recognize where you can have a lasting collection, a treasure that does not pass away. People's collections become their treasure, essentially. You know, people have even museums. Rich people have museums of their collections. That's their treasure. And they invite people, come look at my treasure, basically. And they take a lot of pride in showing off their treasure. That's where their heart is. It's obvious. You can see it. To a certain degree, whatever we collect has our heart in it. Are we collectors or are we distributors? That's the question. Just something to think of. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm trying to take us on a treasure hunt together to examine our hearts. So practice being rich towards God by giving, by being generous, by being liberal. Bless others. Share the things that God has blessed you with others. Now, someone might think, and I touched on that before, well, you know, it sounds like the motivation here is a little bit off. You know, you're kind of motivated by reward. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven and you will receive a reward, a treasure in heaven. You will receive eternity. Jesus did say, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Jesus is this is the interesting thing about it, because some people, even out of a selfish motive, can think of that and say, yeah, well, you know, yeah, eternal things, and so if I do this, I'll have better gains. And yeah, that sounds like the better option. And in an intellectual, even selfish way, think, yes, I'll lay up treasure in heaven because that is the better deal. And that's actually exactly what Jesus is doing, believe it or not. He actually appeals to our selfish natural inclination of acquiring treasure that is really prized. He appeals to that in order to liberate us from that. I want you to think about that. Jesus is saying, yes, invest, lay up treasure, but lay up treasure where it will really matter. You want a good investment? Let me tell you about a good investment. Forget these ones down here on earth where thieves will steal, where it will rust, where it will vanish away. Lay up the real treasure, the real investment is in heaven. Christ is appealing to this desire, but the purpose is so that we can actually be ultimately liberated from it. So Christ is not saying this is necessarily bad in and of itself, but he's saying if you direct it in the right way, if you do that, and he's the one who instructed us to do that. He's the one who says, you know, your reward is eternal. He wants us to do that. He wants us to invest in this treasure. And in so doing, he actually will teach us and break the cycle of greed and earthly accumulation and want and selfishness by the way that we will invest in this heavenly treasure, by liberality. Liberality will eliminate the selfish natural inclination of the human heart. This is the purpose and desire of Jesus. So I just want to touch on that because that's the point that this fool missed who died in this parable that Jesus gave. So invest in your heavenly treasure. The returns are actually eternal. The stock of heaven gives eternal returns. And the amazing thing is this. Christ is the one that has given us the capital, ample capital to invest in that treasure. The blessings he gave us is so that we can lay up this treasure by blessing others, by bringing others to the kingdom, by preparing for that which is to come. So I'll close with where we started, the verse we read before, and I'll mention it here, and this is the thought I want to leave with you. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So in this treasure hunt, let's make it count. Everyone in the world, everyone, there is no exception, is on a treasure hunt of some kind, shape, or form. The job, the house, the investment, expansion, acquisition, the accumulation, on and on and on it goes. Many are hoarding and growing their treasure. What about you? Will you go on the ultimate treasure hunt? Will you lay up treasure that will last forever? That's the question, and that's the challenge to this for this study that I wanted to share with you. So I'll leave it at that, and I pray that you'll take this challenge on board, that you'll take it to heart, and I'll invite you to pray with me if you're able. I'll just close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have whatever thoughts afterwards that we can. So if you're able, let's close with a word of prayer together. Loving Eternal Father, we are so thankful that Jesus is so mindful and so well aware of the natural inclinations of our heart. He did not forbid us from acquiring treasure. He did not cut that off from us, but he actually just directed our intention to be wise in laying up treasure where it really matters. I just pray that this will serve as a reminder for each and every one of us here today. We live in the world. We are many times affected by the world we live in and the treasure seeking that occurs in the world. I just pray that you will liberate us from whatever hold this world might have on us, whether it be in things we possess, material things that we love dearly, things that we treasure in this world. And help us to recognize and to see the big picture. Help us to be liberal. Grant us your spirit that we might indeed be cheerful givers, knowing that we are soon leaving this world. That at a moment's notice, we are to walk away, leaving behind all these things that we deem so important, so vital, so precious to us in this world. Fix our eyes on that heavenly treasure. Help us all, Lord, to invest there. And may indeed the words of Jesus be true for us, that we will have our heart where our treasure is. I pray you'll bless each and everyone listening today to this message, particularly in this area, Lord, that you will unite us all, that we might all be investing in that same treasure together. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray you were blessed by this video. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, like, turn notifications on, and most importantly, share this video with others. May God the Father richly bless you in Jesus.